Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And by Vortex Optics. With the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at Broom.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show number 982. We have a little echo in here this morning, don't we? I'm not sure what that is. It sounds pretty good, though, but not that good. Welcome to our show. You know, scientists tell us that one of the things that keeps our beautiful Earth alive and thriving is our silent but powerful global magnetic field that provides a barrier against the bombardment of cosmic rays and charged solar particles that would otherwise cause us trouble. Well, researchers from the Technical University of Denmark took the magnetic field signal and radio frequencies and converted them into sound. And what they produced was this. Weird, huh? The sound interpretation of the magnetic field of the Earth. Well, this is all by way of providing a reminder that if you're listening to our show live on the 21st of April or listening on the 22nd, that April 22nd is Earth Day. And we're happy to know that this year the folks from EarthDay.org are putting the emphasis on plastics. If you've been listening to our show for a while, you know that we try to focus a lot on conservation, as well as birds and birding, especially on the issue of what plastics are doing to our planet. Here's the statement from the Earth Day organizers. Quote, for Earth Day 2024, EarthDay.org is unwavering in our commitment to end plastics for the sake of human and planetary health, demanding a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. End quote. Well, that's a bold and inspiring statement for sure. That website, EarthDay.org, has lots of info on how to celebrate and take part in Earth Day 2024. And lots of other conservation sites have good info, too. And if you miss the day, not to worry, because most of those things can be done on any day of the year, because it's a pretty good idea, as they say, to make every day Earth Day. Here's a very last-minute stragglers alert. Also, if you're listening to our show live here on the 21st, and if you happen to be in the Worcester, Massachusetts area, the Massachusetts Audubon Birders Meeting is underway. MassAudubon.org will give you the full details. And by the way, our Debbie Bleacher is at the Birders Meeting, so if you go, please stop by our Talking Birds table and say hey to Debbie. Speaking of Massachusetts, we have an audio postcard from our home state today. It's from our friend Jerry Barrier, who has a connection to a huge birding festival that's coming soon. First, let's hear his postcard.
Good morning, Ray. This is Jerry Barrier listening to a tufted titmouse in my backyard in Malden, Massachusetts. And I believe this was the same titmouse that was calling plaintively during the partial eclipse we had recently. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for that audio postcard. I wanted to mention about Jerry. He's going to be a keynote speaker at the upcoming Biggest Week in American Birding Festival. He'll give a birding by ear talk called Conqueree, Drink Your Tea, Who Cooks for You? In which he'll cover how he got involved in birding, how it has enhanced his life, and how he met some of the challenges he's faced as a birder who is blind. More about that Biggest Week festival coming along here in a few minutes with our special guest, Kim Kaufman. We'd love to receive more audio postcards, by the way, so please consider sending one. Just take your smartphone with you wherever you're looking at birds and record 30 seconds to a minute of or so of yourself describing what you're seeing, and then mail the file to ray@talkingbirds.com. That's ray@talkingbirds.com. Speaking of listening live, you can listen live anywhere on the planet. Just go to talkingbirds.com and see how to do it to enter our mystery bird contest, for example. And here is a preview of today's contest. Are we hearing that? Is this going to be another blooper day, you think? Yeah, because we're not hearing that mystery. You're hearing it. Oh, it's just me that isn't hearing it. I see how that goes. I see what's happening there. Well, that's our mystery bird. Everybody but yours truly apparently can hear that. Yeah? Okay. We'll turn that down and everything's going to be just fine here in just a moment, I'm sure. Okay, so here's a thing with clues about our mystery bird. It's a small songbird with a blue-gray head and wings, a yellow chest with a black and reddish band across it, a greenish back, two white wing bars, and white crescents above and below the eyes. Our bird winters in Central America and the Caribbean. It nests mostly in the eastern half of North America, but sometimes also along California's coast and in New Mexico and Arizona. It feeds high up in trees on spiders and insects of all sorts. A preview of our mystery bird contest coming along in a bit. Beautiful prizes this morning include a $25 gift certificate for Bird Collective, your one-stop shop for vintage-inspired apparel and unique accessories, all featuring birds. And a big bag of our favorite coffee, shade-grown, bird-friendly, and truly delicious Birds and Beans coffee, grown under the natural forest canopy in Central America to preserve wintering habitat for warblers and tanagers and thrushes and hummingbirds and more of the birds we'd love to see up here in North America every spring and summer. That's our mystery bird contest coming along in just a little bit. And here is a salute to another member of the royal family of talking birds. That would be our ambassadors, folks who help us spread the word about our show and about birds and conservation, which is what we're about. And we say thank you to Emerson from Woodbury, Minnesota. Thank you so much, Emerson. To become an ambassador, as Emerson has done, just go to talkingbirds.com and click where it says Get Involved on that tab at the top of the page. Really easy to do. Still to come today, special guest Kim Kaufman will tell us about the biggest week in American birding and why attending it is worth a trip to Northwest Ohio from pretty much wherever you are. Also today, Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's famous Birdwatchers General Store will join us for Let's Ask Mike Live on the subject of warblers that use nest boxes. There aren't many. And up next, a groovy member of the cuckoo family is today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. The three Ani species are members of the cuckoo family, and one of them is today's featured feathered friend. The groove-billed Ani. It's a perching bird about halfway between the size of a robin and a crow that the Cornell Lab's All About Birds site describes as disheveled-looking. Its plumage, male and female, is entirely black with overtones of glossy green or purple. It has a long, rounded tail, short, rounded wings, and a tall, heavy bill with several grooves in the upper mandible that are visible at close range. This bird is mostly non-migratory, found in the U.S. in South Texas and along the Gulf and Florida coasts. It forages on the ground for prey like grasshoppers and beetles, and will also hop through bushes, flopping its wings and tail, a clumsy but effective way of flushing insects and small lizards. Groove-billed Anis are highly gregarious birds that live in groups of up to five pairs and are mostly monogamous. During the breeding season, pairs separate from the group as males defend their mates against approaches by other males. No courtship displays have been documented, but males have been observed bringing an insect or a leaf to the female, who may signal her favor by accepting the offering. Populations of groove-billed Anis surveyed in Texas were essentially stable between 1966 and 2015, according to the North American Breeding Bird Survey, and the bird is rated by Partners in Flight as a species of low conservation concern. By the way, the other two Ani species are the smooth-billed Ani, which reaches northward to the U.S. only in South Florida, and the greater Ani, which ranges southward from Central America through most of South America. Today's featured feathered friend, Crotophaga sulcirostris, the groove-billed Ani. Welcome again to our show number 982. And now, direct from the warbler capital of the world, Oak Harbor, Ohio, we're joined by the executive director of the Black Swamp Bird Observatory, presenters of the biggest week in American birding, Kim Kaufman. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Ray.
It's wonderful to have you back again with us this year for another big week, the biggest week in American birding. Well, beyond the fact that it's a week that lasts for 10 days, what else makes it so big?
Well, we pack a lot of amazing activities and opportunities for birders into that 10-day stretch in early May here in Northwest Ohio. So it truly is a big week.
It is indeed. I looked at the biggest week event schedule, which almost broke my computer. All kinds of wonderful field trips to very birdie locations, most famous of which, I think, is McGee Marsh. For those who don't know about McGee Marsh, what makes that such a special place?
Well, there are so many amazing birding destinations along the North Coast in Northwest Ohio, right along Lake Erie. But McGee Marsh Wildlife Area is really the epicenter for spring migration. There's a boardwalk there that transects exactly the kind of habitat that migratory birds look for during migration. Mm-hmm. And that access to birds and the habitat allows us to immerse birders in the spring migration experience here in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, so that special place that the birds are looking for, of course, right on Lake Erie. Tell us more about that. How does the proximity to Lake Erie help create this amazing phenomenon?
Well, you might have to cut me off because I could talk about this till next Tuesday, but it's really, these migratory songbirds are coming from Central and South America, most of them, moving north to the breeding grounds. And if you weigh less than an ounce and you don't swim or even float, you are reluctant to cross a big body of water until you're at your energetic best. So these birds are dropping down into that wooded habitat right on the shore of Lake Erie to feast up on insects, to fill their gas tank, if you will, to power them across the lake. So the lake puts these birds down to rest and refuel. And unfortunately for birds, a lot of the habitat along the lake has been developed, but most of those areas are public access. The historic duck clubs had the conservation ethic and foresight to hold on to these areas that are so important for birds and waterfowl and wildlife, and now they're public areas. So we can get birders into those areas where the birds are concentrated, and it makes for an absolutely spectacular experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been doing the festival for a while now, Kim, so what is new this year?
Well, all of the same great things that people have come to expect from the biggest week in American birding are still there, but we have added some really fun new activities. Our evening socials at the headquarters for the festival at Maumee Bay Lodge and Conference Center, which is the beautiful resort right on the shores of Lake Erie. The evening socials are going to be more fun, more food, more freebies, more friends. Every night we're going to give away amazing prize packages that will cost people nothing. So if you're here for the biggest week, make sure you make your way to Maumee Bay State Park each evening from 5 to 7. You'll have to drag yourself away from great birding, but the evening socials are going to be really fun. This year, as in every year, my team and I look at how we can make this festival more accessible and more welcoming. And we recognize that accessibility is a real issue for this festival. So we are working so hard to offer opportunities for everybody and everybody, as they say. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with Freya McGregor at Access Birding to enhance our accessible field trips. There's a whole suite of festival of accessible trips. You can find that on the festival website, but we're so excited to offer new opportunities for everybody.
Yeah, we're proud of our Freya McGregor there involving that with her Access
Birding. Aren't birds lucky to have Freya?
Indeed.
She's one of my favorite people in the world.
Birds and people are lucky for that. We mentioned Jerry Barrier as a keynote speaker, and you have a couple other keynote speakers there, right?
Our list of keynote speakers, any one of these individuals would be enough to move people, you know, to get to Northwest Ohio to see them. But Christian Cooper, Tama Watts, Kevin Carlson, Peter Kasner, Ken Kaufman's new book launches at the Biggest Week. Amy Tan, who wrote The Joy Luck Club, is our featured banquet speaker. Jerry Barrier, as you mentioned, and Jennifer Ackerman are all here this year to give keynotes.
Wow, what an event. Birders Marketplace to Optics Alley, a birder prom, and I don't have time to ask you about the bird tattoos. I know that's not putting tattoos on birds, but I think if we go to the website, we can find out about that and how to register, right?
That's right. All the information is at biggestweekinamericanbirding.com. Not just information about the festival, but a lot of information about traveling to Northwest Ohio. Tons of information if you've never come to the Biggest Week before, what to know, how to prepare. So that website is a good one-stop shop for birders looking to come to Northwest Ohio in spring.
And also, if you have a spouse who's not a birder, there's a couple of things to do as well, right?
Absolutely. Bring your spouse or significant other, friends, loved ones along, even if they're not birders, and they should be birders. Northwest Ohio is right on the shores of Lake Erie. This is a fabulous area for tourism. So there are tons of things to do. Museums, the Museum of Art in Toledo is not to be missed, but lighthouses, wineries, all of these fabulous things. Cedar Point Amusement Park opens early in May as well. So add that to your list of things to do while you're here, or stay after the Biggest Week and visit all these places.
Yeah, lots of lodging opportunities, right, too, on the website there.
Yeah, the proximity to lodging, all kinds of different food. It's really a fabulous place to visit, and the birds are like the ultimate bonus.
The Biggest Week at AmericanBirding.org, or as Kim likes to say, BWIAB.org.
Dot com. That's great. BWIAB.com.
People get us like that all the time. Now I'm getting you like that. BWIAB.com. By the way, I did just a search in a search bar in Google, and I just put in Biggest Week. That's all I put in there, and it went right to it. So
I love that. I love that birders have become so mainstream that you can just type in the first couple letters and up pops Biggest Week.
Indeed. Kim, thank you so much, and good luck with the festival.
Thank you so much for having me, Ray. It's always a pleasure.
Kim Kaufman here on Talkin' Birds, and up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather, the flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
Here's our mystery bird. It's a small songbird with a blue head and wings, a yellow chest with a black and reddish band across it, a greenish back, two white wing bars, and white crescents above and below the eyes. Our bird winters in Central America and the Caribbean and nests mostly in the eastern half of North America, but also along parts of California's coast and in New Mexico and Arizona. It feeds high up in trees on spiders and insects of all sorts. It's our mystery bird. Beautiful prizes include that $25 gift certificate for Bird Collective. Vintage-inspired apparel, unique accessories, all featuring birds, and a big bag of our favorite coffee, Birds and Beans, shade-grown, bird-friendly, and truly delicious coffee. An important ingredient here would be the phone number, and here it is, and we urge you to call, as always, as soon as possible, so we'll have time. 781-837-4900 is the number. That's 781-837-4900. As they say, if you get a busy signal, hang up, try us again. 781-837-4900 is the number. Meanwhile, we'll check in with Mike O'Connor. It's Let's Ask Mike Live in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
It's Mike O'Connor, O'Connor, down at the famous Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. Going to tell us about two warblers that use nest boxes. I believe it's the box building warbler and the nest boxer warbler, but I'm probably wrong about that. Good morning, Mike.
No, you're right. That's it.
That was it. All right. Yeah, Mike will be back right with us next week again here. We'll have things going much more smoothly again as well.
I love the stream of blooper shows. These are awesome.
It's becoming kind of a specialty here the last few weeks. Yeah.
Anyway, you're right. We talk about nest box birds, and surprisingly, only a few birds use bird houses or nest boxes that we put up. And, of course, we think about house wrens or house sparrows or bluebirds, chickadees, and purple martins, for example, use man-made dwellings. But surprisingly, of all the warblers that nest in North America, 50-some-odd, only two will actually use a man-made thing or a birdhouse that we can put up to help attract them. And the two species are, like, unbelievably polar opposites. The first one, Prothonotary warbler, which lives in the southeastern part of the states, loves the swampy kind of shade, thick areas along water to build it, to nest in. And they'll go in typically woodpecker holes. But if you live in that area and you put up just a traditional square boring birdhouse or nest box with an inch and a quarter hole, they'll happily take that. And these birds, if you get one, they're just unbelievably colorful. I'm telling you that the male yellow is brighter than the sun. It's just a stunner to see, and it's well worth the effort to get it, or if just for a bird to see one, but to get one in your yard. The other species, the Lucy's warbler, is the opposite. It's in the desert southwest, It loves the arid, dry, sparse area, and because things are a little bit dull and gray there, it's a dull and gray bird. Not the color of the Prothonotary. It does have a little bit of a cinnamony color on its tail and crest, but sometimes you can't even see that. And they like things in the arid area, and their nest boxes, and I think your friends at the Tucson Audubon have kind of pioneered this. They put up a box that looks less like a square rectangle box, more like a lean-to. It's got an opening in the front and the back, and the birds kind of gravitate towards that. And if you live in that area, you pull one up, you're probably going to get one of these birds. And they sell these kind of funky bird houses at Tucson Audubon on their website. I was looking, and they're $12, which $12 is like nothing. You know, that's like David Clapp prices. I couldn't believe how cheap they are.
You don't have anything in your store for $12.
No, not even. We won't even answer a question for $12. Yeah, so that's that. Those are two opposite birds that you can get a different. And the Lucy's warbler, surprisingly, probably is going to have its name changed because it's named after, Lucy from the Peanuts character. No, it's named after the daughter of one of the early Smithsonian ornithologists was given that name. And now she's probably a sweet woman somewhere in the world, but she's probably going to lose her name when they change all the names. So if you live in those areas, Prothonotary warbler in the southeast, or if you live out in the desert southwest, put out a little triangle box for the Lucy's warbler.
All right.
And that'll be very exciting.
And also exciting, our friend Chris Powell, he and his wife Candy are down at the Great Dismal Swamp in Virginia. And Chris sent us a beautiful Prothonotary warbler photo, which we'll be posting on our website very soon.
Oh, right. If you've never seen one of these birds, you should. But if not, look it up, because you'll be stunned how pretty it is. And happy Earth Day, everybody. Get out and do something good.
Happy Earth Day, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds groovy. Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Bye. Do you hear what he said? It sounds groovy. That fit in with our bird.
Groovy, baby.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
It's our groove build, Ani. But we're back at the mystery bird contest here. It might sound like one of those birds that Mike was just talking about, but it isn't. It's our mystery bird. But what is it? 781-837-4900. It's a small songbird with a blue-gray head and wings, a yellow chest with a black and reddish band across it, a greenish back, two white wing bars and white crescents above and below the eyes. And Michael in Long Island thinks he might know what that is, or maybe I shouldn't say he thinks he knows it, maybe he does. Hello, Michael.
Yes, hi.
Hi. What do you think?
Good morning, Ray. Northern Perula.
Northern Perula, or you could say Perula, but you say Perula, and that's good enough for us right here.
Good.
Perula or Perula. One of those things that will never be totally solved. But at least it's not one of those birds named after a person, so they don't have to change the name of it. We're going to be doing a lot of that very, very soon. Michael, thank you so much. Stay on the line, and Tim will get your info.
Thank you.
And send you the prizes. Thank you, Michael, correctly identifying the, what was it? Oh, yes, the Northern Perula, or Northern Perula, as our mystery bird. That about exhausts our time for this morning. A reminder, if you'd like to support our show, go to patreon.com/talkingbirds for a wonderful way to do it. Meanwhile, thanks to our amazing Talking Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, Freya McGregor, and today's producing engineer, Tim McKenney. All right, Tim. He doesn't mind us calling him Timmy.
No, Timmy!
No, Timmy is good. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds. Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broome, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.